Growing your business doesn't have to be difficult. It's all about mastering a few key techniques, systems, and mindsets. Welcome to Foot Traffic, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your local business. I'm your host, Stacey Tuschel. I've been an entrepreneur for over 15 years, and I own multiple seven-figure businesses. Together, you and I are going to get you more customers in the door, more profit in your pocket, and more happiness in your home. Let's transform your business starting right now. Hey there, and welcome back to another episode of Foot Traffic. I am really excited because today I am interviewing Rich Brooks. And Rich is somebody where I met him through a mutual friend, and he recently had me on his podcast, The Agents of Change, and we just hit it off, and I knew I wanted to have him on the show as well. And he is the founder and president of a company called Flight New Media. It's a digital agency, and he's in Portland, Maine. He's been doing that for over 20 years. He knows what he's talking about. He is a recognized speaker, all things entrepreneurship, digital marketing, social media. There were so many ways I could have taken this interview, but I wanted to actually talk to him a little bit more about in-person events. We host in-person events for our brick and mortar dance studios. We do it obviously for our online business. You may have seen She's Building Her Empire Live the last 4 years. And Rich has something called the Agents of Change, which is this annual conference he's been doing for the last 8 years in Maine. So I wanted to ask him a little bit more about that because I believe no matter what type of business you are, online or in local, I think you should be hosting in-person events. So we're talking about speakers, sponsorships, and seats. And although Rich is talking mostly about how he's doing this and his digital agency, I also want you to know we're doing it in our brick and mortar. Now, obviously, I'm not bringing in speakers, but I am going, okay, what types of things should I have at the event? Like what types of activities should be there? And when he talks about sponsorships, we actually have local businesses sponsor the event because they want to be seen in front of their ideal audience too. And then instead of seats, we're selling tickets. Sometimes it's free, sometimes it's a low ticket item, but we're still trying to get people in the door at the event. So trust me, this is for any type of business out there. Don't think, well, I'm not an online expert, so this isn't going to work for me. This absolutely will, you guys. If you are an online business, you have to be doing in-person events. I promise you. You're going to want to listen. And if you are a local brick and mortar business, I really, even though you're thinking, but I am in person, right? But I want you thinking, how can you be the community leader in these in-person events? How can you get your community involved to help you do this? Okay. You guys, this is a great episode. You're going to want to grab out your notebook and pen. I was taking notes during the episode. It was so, so good. So let me introduce you to my new friend, Rich Brooks. Hey, Rich, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you on today.
I'm really glad to be here.
Yeah, this is going to be so fun. So we're going to be talking about in-person events. And I know a lot of times in the online world, there's so many people talking about virtual and online and why online is better. And I am excited to really kind of go back to the basics and talking about events. And I know you've got some amazing things to share. But before we dive in, can you just kind of give a little bit more of a background, your story, share with us that entrepreneurial journey you've taken?
Sure. How long should I go? 2 hours, 3 hours?
Three would be great.
Excellent. Long form content at its best.
Yes.
So the short version is 22 years ago or so, I was working for another company, just doing marketing in-house, and realized that I really just wanted to focus entirely on digital marketing, that this was not the right company to get it done in. They actually wanted to move me into another position, and I ended up going to their Christmas party. And in the Christmas party, they had a psychic at the Christmas party, and she told me that I needed to start following my gut. And I'm like, whoa, that's really interesting. And my gut told me this internet thing was going to be a big deal. Now, this is back in the day before the internet was a big deal. So it was kind of, you know, revolutionary. So anyways, I started designing websites out of my apartment. I ended up moving to Maine, continued to do that out of my apartment, started to get busier, hired employees, ended up moving into real offices. And now, 22 years later, I own this digital agency called Flight New Media. And we work with small to medium-sized businesses and entrepreneurs. We design and build websites. We do search engine optimization, social media, all this sort of stuff. And along the way, I just loved doing presentations. And about 11 years ago, me and a couple friends ended up deciding to put on our own event called Social Media FTW. We ran that for 3 years. And after the band broke up, I decided to basically launch a new conference. And I call this conference the Agents of Change. And I'm a huge comic book nerd. And from the moment I came up with the name Agents of Change, I had this vision of like three agents, one representing search, one representing social, one representing mobile marketing. And that's really what I wanted to talk to small businesses and entrepreneurs about. And we're now planning our 8th annual Agents of Change conference coming this fall in Maine.
Oh, that's so amazing. So what brought you to Maine? I know you said you moved there and then started your agency.
I had wanted to move here for a while. I just read this article about this consultant who would come into businesses to really understand what motivated employees and where they wanted to go. And one woman's like, I want to live in a small shack in Maine. Like, that sounds ridiculous. Well, the small shack part does, but actually that Maine thing sounds, and I don't know, it just clicked. And I had some friends up here and I just started regularly coming up here. And there was a girl involved at the time.
Of course
there was. And that caused me to kind of pick up from Boston and move to Maine, and I've never looked back.
I love it. Okay. Well, I love that story. Thank you so much for kind of giving us, it's always nice to know where were you coming from? What happened before? How did you get here? So I love that. So let's talk about these in-person events. I mean, 8th annual, wow, that I've been doing mine for 4 years and I can only imagine twice as long what you've learned, what you've experienced, because every year there's so many learning lessons. So
Sometimes I wish there weren't so many learning lessons, but they exist nonetheless.
They do, because I think you think, wow, we've been doing this for so long, but we're getting larger. And every time we get larger, there's new things that kind of pop up. So I love that we're talking about this, because I really think whether you have a digital business, a local business, in-person events are such a great way to get your name out there, get new people in the door, have people find out about you. And I just think the connection in person is so much stronger than online. So I think it's a really great thing for everybody to be listening to today.
Absolutely. And I think that there's an argument to be made that it's important as an attendee to go out and go to conferences. But, you know, when people ask me, like, why do I put on events, especially because I'm into digital marketing, mm-hmm. and it's because it's a lot of work. I mean, that's really the truth. I mean, it's not a lot of work to put up a post on Facebook or an update on Twitter or LinkedIn. And it's not too much work to write a blog, but putting on an event, it's a lot of work.
It is.
And because it's a lot of work, your competition is less likely to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's actually, I think, probably the best thing about it is it's not a simple thing to do and it's not easy to outsource. But if you're doing it for the reasons I do it, which is basically to generate leads and to not, you know, to make a little bit of money maybe along the way, I think it can be very powerful for you. And over the years, I've started to kind of hone what we're doing it. And now that we've been doing it for so long, we do have a lot of things in place that we can recycle from previous years. But even if you're starting from scratch, I usually talk about three things that any business owner should focus on if they're thinking of starting their own event. And for me, I call it the three S's. And it's speakers, sponsors, and seats. So speakers are obviously who's going to get on stage with you, if anyone. Sponsors are, is there going to be anybody who can help underwrite some of your costs? And then seats are, how do you fill them? And I don't know how much you want to dive into any one of them, but I'm happy to talk about any of them.
I'd love to ask you some questions. So one thing you just said is, you know, when something's hard, it's a less crowded space. And I always tell people that when they come to me and they say, oh, Facebook changed this again. Or I'm always like, listen, the harder it is, the less competitors we're going to have. So get excited when something is a little difficult. And even though events can be hard work, you can also put systems in place, and things that you're going to be talking about today is going to really help our listeners. So I'm excited about this.
Absolutely. So
let's dive into each one of these, because I think all three of them are very, very important. And I want to get your opinion on a few of these. And I would love to kind of hear the evolution of Agents of Change. You know, when you're talking speakers, let's say, did you just start it by yourself? Did you already have speakers in the beginning? Let's talk the strategy behind speakers a little bit.
Sure. So for me, my personal journey was I'd actually decided to never put on another live event ever after Social Media FTW year 3 rounded up. I'm just like, it's exhausting. And I don't know if I can do this again. And by chance that night, I went to an event where Chris Brogan was. And I went up and I introduced myself. Hey, Chris, it's Rich Brooks. And he said, Rich, we've met 20 times already. I think I know who you are. You can stop introducing yourself. But that's who I am. You know, I don't want to put any pressure. Yeah. Anyway, he's like, how did your event go yesterday? I'm like, oh my God, Chris Brogan knows I have an event. And I told him about it. And he's like, oh, I'd really like to get involved sometime. And I was like, oh my God. Like, so right then I was like, I'm going to put on another event. And that's actually part of the birth story of origin wow. story of Agents of Change. But so I knew that I was going to do another event, and I knew I was going to base it initially around Chris Brogan. Okay. And then from there, I knew what kind of events I liked, and I hated too many breakout sessions at the time. And I wanted to have more of, like, not exactly a single track, but I was bringing in, I got to know Derek Halpern, who very popular, well-known yeah. speaker or well-known entrepreneur. And at the time he was doing a lot of speaking, and Amy Porterfield. And I was able to convince all three of them to come and do my event. And that was pretty a big deal for me. But also my events in Maine, and this is
where I was just going to say, wow, that's impressive, because yeah. a lot of these guys are California.
Right. Well, Chris grew up in Maine, and he lives oh, okay. in northern Boston. So Amy was willing to come out. She swore she loved it, and she'll never come out again because it's a long trip. But and Derek was just in New York. So okay. the bottom line is, I had a connection with him, and I basically the first few years it was asking friends. It was mm-hmm. asking people I knew, hey, would you come out? Or people would come up to me at, say, Social Media Marketing World or Blog World and say, hey, you know, I hear you've got an event. I love Maine. And so it kind of all connected. For me now, so a lot of times at the beginning it was friends, people who I could get to come speak. But in Maine, people aren't wowed by speakers. You know, it's not the biggest driving force. So when I look now, because we've definitely tried different things. One year we tried an approach that was a single track that was based on The Tonight Show with live music and DJs. And we brought people over to a desk to answer questions. It was a lot of fun. But the model that we've settled into now is get a big name up front for an opening keynote, a big name mm-hmm. at the end. I usually put myself in the middle. And then the rest of the day is breakouts. And we bring in a wide variety of different experts. And mm-hmm. I'm really focused on the topics. So for me, it's topic first, speaker second, with few exceptions. Like, I knew I wanted Mark Schaefer, and so I was able to convince Mark to come out. But that was really because Mark's going to be great in any topic he speaks on. If you're an entrepreneur, if you're just starting out, or you got your own event, you have to think about who's going to compliment you. You do have to be aware, you know, you don't necessarily want to bring up your best competitors if they're better speakers than you and maybe present better than you. If you're doing this for the reasons I am, which is to ultimately raise my profile, Flight's profile, and generate business for Flight. But the bottom line is, you know, if you want people coming back year after year, you have to continually bring in new speakers yes. who are really good at their job. And one of the tools that I use is this podcast. So I interview people. Like, we get requests now all the time. I don't know about you.
Yes. Oh,
who hires your keynote speaker kind of stuff all the time. And I always say, listen, nobody gets on the stage without getting on the show first. So if you want to come on the show, pitch me on what you're going to be talking about. And then if I like somebody, then I kind of add them to this list in my head, or actually spreadsheet of people that might be good for the next year's event. And then it just comes down to, you know, who do I think is going to do a great job? Who have I seen speak? Who's been on the show? And then also, are the topics being covered? You know, every year I need to have a few topics that we've never done before. So this year we've got a breakout session on Alexa flash briefings, and we've got another one on chatbots, which we had never done before. So, you know, those are some things. Plus, we always want to do something on SEO, always something on digital advertising. So we've got our classics and our new stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Love this. So a couple really great things that you said there. When you're talking about those complimentary speakers and bringing in people that you want to make sure they're not your competitor, your direct competitor, completely. Now, if you are a brick and mortar and you're thinking of other in-person events that you're hosting, I mean, we do this at our locations. Obviously, I'm not speaking, but I do bring in other businesses, but I'm strategic about that. I'm bringing in complimentary businesses. So this is really goes back and forth to online and brick and mortar so well. So I'm so excited we're covering this topic today. So with these speakers, it sounds like everybody that you're talking to, you've been building relationships, building connections before. Maybe these days you're much more well known. So like you said, people are pitching you, but a few years ago, or when you first got started 8 years ago, it is a little bit more of you've got to use your connections and reach out to people that believe in your vision and want to help. So I assume this is getting easier and easier for you as time goes on.
It's funny that you say that. It is. In terms of the speakers, I never worry about getting the speakers. And I actually belong to a mastermind of other regional event planners. And we just happened to have one earlier today. And one of the other women just finished one of her events, and she's already ramping up for next year. And she was asking questions about who do we go and how do we get things. For her, it's a concern. like me, she always wants to make sure that she's delivering the best possible speakers. And, you know, we have a habit of, we don't pay our speakers, but we do. Certain speakers get flown in. Certain speakers, most speakers get a nice hotel, dinner, all that sort of stuff. We try and treat them with respect, but, you know, this isn't a huge conference. And so depending on the size of your conference, you need to decide, you know, am I going to pay for speakers to come in? Am I going to buy a copy of their book for everybody? What are the things that are going to get them to do it? So there's a little bit of negotiation that might go on once you get past that inner circle of friends who are like, of course I'll fly across the Atlantic for you. No problem.
Right. And I think people might listening might be thinking, wow, that you really don't pay them. And it depends. You know, there's a lot of different events and things out there and some are not paid. And people are shocked when I tell them, oh, this is how it works or this is the type it is. But yeah, it really depends. And I think a lot of times too, when we are building relationships and are involved in masterminds and things like that, we are definitely returning the favor and helping out our friends. So it just depends in kind of what world you're living in the moment.
Right. And social media, unfortunately or fortunately, has a habit of not paying its speakers. And, you know, I'm on both sides of it because I like to speak and, hey, I like to get paid for it too. You know, so I understand if I'm talking to somebody and they're like, Rich, I can't do it for less than $10,000. And I'm like, I totally understand, but I can't make those numbers work. So come on the podcast, which doesn't cost us anything. We'll go forward from there. But you know, you have to make your own business decisions. And when you're just starting out with an event, your money's going to be tight because you're not sure if you're getting those sponsor dollars. You're not sure if you're going to fill that auditorium. So, or if it's even as big as an auditorium. So I'm a big fan of starting small and then you can kind of see what direction you want to go into.
Yeah. My biggest thing I always tell people is I wish I would have started with calling it something like a workshop because I feel like the pressure is off. But when you call it a conference or a bit like a live event, then all of a sudden I think people have a different expectation. So I'm always saying start small and then it'll grow. As it grows, you can decide how big you want it to get.
Absolutely. I don't know that I wanted to get it any bigger. I mean, it's 400 people when it sells out. That's pretty big for me.
Oh yeah, that definitely. We had 150 people at our last event. And for us, we were ecstatic.
Right. And so I, you know, one thing I want to tell people is it doesn't matter how big it is. If it's 12 people, but it's the right 12 people, then you've won.
Yeah, absolutely. I could not agree more. And you know, if it's the wrong 400 people, it's not going to work. So I 100%, it's not a volume game at all. Okay. So let's dive into sponsorship. I want to ask you, how early on did you get sponsors? And people are always asking me, well, I'm not big enough or what do I need to do? So I would love to hear your opinion on this.
So I hate asking for sponsorship. It's literally my least favorite thing to do because I can sell all day and all night our SEO services, paid search, websites, whatever. I'm really good at it. I believe in it. Sponsorships are so nebulous that I struggle with selling them. There's actually a woman out there, Linda Hollander, who is like kind of like the person for talking about sponsorships. But I will tell you like what I've done. First of all, again, it came down to sponsorships are not easy to get. And my second or third year of social media FTW, we hired somebody who was supposed to help us bring in sponsors and they brought in zero. The only sponsors we got Constant Contact, who I had already developed a really strong relationship. Yeah. They sponsored us the last 2 years of social media FTW and they sponsored us for like the first 5 or 6 years. I think it was the first 6 years of Agents of Change. And then they got bought out and that changes everything. But So what I do these days is it is still a struggle. I found a bank, a local bank that really believed in our vision and they signed on for like a 3-year agreement. If you can ever get somebody to sign on for a 3-year agreement.
I would never even have thought of that. Wow. That's impressive. Yeah. Okay.
Because here's the thing, and this is what I learned from Linda actually, stop treating it like you're sponsoring an event. Start treating it like you're sponsoring a brand because all of a sudden now, like what, and this is a whole other tangent, but they became like basically the Tostitos of the Tostitos Bowl as far as our conference was. Like their logo is everywhere. They've since asked to shift that money into a new endeavor that we're working on together, something we're calling Fast Forward Maine, which is a whole different thing, but it's like it was developing that relationship. That's really what got it started. So some of this has been personal relationships. For sure. Some of this has been just happenstance. This marketing company called Convey, a local company, reached out to me and said, you know, I want Constant Contact out of there. I want you using us. Mm-hmm. And it was right around the time Constant Contact was bought out. I'm like, that sounds great. Like, let's sign a 3-year deal and we'll be done with it. And so that worked out. I would also say, and those have been really good. And that's literally why we are able to keep doing it. Like, sponsorship at this stage, this size, it's required.
Yeah.
And then the other piece of it is we do a lot of barter work. So we've worked with almost every local TV and newspaper over the years, sometimes multiple ones if it's just barter sort of stuff. We have a networking event at the end. Shipyard Beer gives us free beer. And Otto Pizza, which was rated the best pizza in the state of Maine, gives us free pizza. And my buddy actually owns a distillery. So now we have free spirits.
Wow.
As well at the networking event. They get some free promotion and free tickets. And we get basically an open bar with free pizza, which of course everybody loves.
Right.
And so that's been really good. We wanted to give branded water bottles out this year. We found a local company called Crestline that was willing to do a barter for us for that. So, I mean, it's just been, I would say barter sponsors are in some ways even better than paid sponsors. I mean, they're both good.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is you can get a lot of bang for the buck, especially if they're interested in attending the event.
Right.
So it's like you get them to attend the event and, you know, it's like I get $500 of pizza for what's costing me about $100 in tickets.
Yeah.
So it just makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Okay. I love that. And I hope my listeners are hearing the relationships, the connections, the collaborations, because this is a really big part, I think, of any part of business, but definitely when you're talking events and collaborating like this. So this is great.
Yeah. In fact, we're trying to double down on that. We realize that it's not about scaling big. It's about making those relationships even deeper. And so this year we're talking about doing more video promotion. And one of the ideas that we're looking at doing is going to each one of our sponsors and doing like a video promo from their place, like going to Otto Pizza. And if Otto Pizza is listening, I haven't talked to you about this bit, but anyway, going to Otto Pizza and being like, let's see how they're making the pizzas. So let's go to a Shipyard Brewery and take a tour of the brewery.
Oh, so cool.
Go to my buddy's Split Rock Distilling and show how they make the bourbon, you know, that sort of stuff.
That's really cool.
Cool. And obviously they'd love it. We love it. It's good for everyone. And
I will also,
sponsors are advertisers, but I don't want the people in attendance to see them as advertisers. I want them to see them as partners because that's really what they are.
Yeah, I love that. And I loved when you said it's not about sponsoring the event. It's about sponsoring the brand. That was a big, big takeaway for me because, and we're naturally doing it. We just had Tailwind come and sponsor our event. And I wanted to help them more than just the event. I said, okay, let's do a podcast together. We'll talk about social media throughout the year. So I think it just is such a win-win when you can have it more about the brand and not just this one day, 2 day event.
Absolutely.
Great. Okay. So let's talk about the last one, seats. And for me, I know when I started, this was the hardest, was just getting people in the door and filling up those seats. So let's kind of dive into that a little bit.
Yeah, this is a tricky one. And, you know, we've had good years and we've had some off years and, you know, it does get challenging. And I think the challenging thing is it's not like you're zeroing in on exactly what works because every year it changes. And it used to be email was like just, you know, a gift from the digital marketing gods when it came to selling tickets. But I've noticed in the last couple of years that the email hasn't been as effective. And I'm going to be transparent here. It could be because my list has AOC exhaustion. You know, it's like the same thing. Maybe I need to be going after other lists, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, in general, email is still the number one seller of tickets. Like we always see a burst of ticket sales after we send out emails. That's a big thing. I would say that, you know, you want to, as much as you can, narrow the niche. One of the challenges of agents of change is it's not industry specific. If you can put on an event that's industry specific, people are more willing to go to an event that's industry specific and they're more willing to pay more. So that's something to keep in the back of your mind if you are doing something like this.
Interesting. Okay.
In fact, we've talked about, besides having our regular agents of change thing, putting on niche agents of change for say a real estate agents
or
something like that. So just an idea out there that we're going to be pursuing and I'll give that out to you.
Yeah, I love that. Okay.
Obviously, you know, the email list is a big part of it, going back to those people time and time again. I would say, you know, we're also doing a lot of Facebook advertising as well, both lookalike audiences and targeting people. I do a lot of one-on-one outreach on LinkedIn, usually copy and paste sort of stuff, but, you know, letting people know, hey, listen, we've got this event going on, and, you know, doing prospecting to find those directors of marketing, those social media managers, whatever it is. And again, you know, it's copy and paste, but hopefully it starts a conversation with them.
Yeah.
And usually I have whether they've attended in the past. So I'll be like, hey, I noticed you haven't gone in the last couple of years. We've got some great new stuff coming on. So I'll have a few scripts that I use.
Yeah.
I speak at as many local events as I can leading up, giving out some, you know, talking up the event. Those are definitely some of the ways that we sell. We use Eventbrite, which is a ticket selling tool, which I really like as well. This year, we're trying to create some more videos. We're going to be playing around with YouTube pre-rolls, but you have to keep on trying new ways. Now, again, a 400-person event is different than a 150-person event, which is different than a 12-person event. And price ticket price matters too. I mean, we feel like we're putting on a world-class event here, even though it's a quote-unquote a smaller event. It's not like an inbound or a social media marketing world. But we bring in great speakers and have great topics. And when I look at similar events around the country, they're looking at somewhere between $200 and $500 a day. So I'm like, I feel that the day of price of $350 is pretty good. Mm-hmm. But $350 is still a lot of money. You know. Yeah. So another thing we do, of course, is we have early bird discounts. I'm sure you do as well. Mm-hmm. And then because early bird discounts only allowed you to talk about tickets like twice, like buy tickets now before they go up. We have early bird. We have summer specials. We have August specials. We have back to school specials. So every month, the price goes up a little bit, but it gives us a chance to get back in front of people and say, look, there's still a chance to save $100, still a chance to save $50, whatever it may be. And people are motivated by that. I wish they weren't. But then again, kind of like you make a lot more money towards the end when people are paying close to $350 a ticket compared to when they're paying $179 a ticket.
Yes. So,
you know, it's not bad to have a third of your tickets left with a month to go.
Yeah, I was actually surprised how many people were buying tickets the weekend prior to the event. Our event's on Wednesday, Thursday, and people were buying tickets Saturday, Sunday. So that shocked me. And not even just local people. We had somebody from Florida buy on Friday before to come to Wisconsin. So it's crazy how last minute some people are.
Some people are like, they've never heard about it. Somehow it just enters into their feed and they're like, this is where I need to go.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the other thing is we used to run this, we call it the crazy one day special. This was when our tickets were a little less money. I think there might've been $200 or $250 at the end. And we had a $99 crazy one day special and we sold like 125 tickets.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay. That sounds good, but it's actually not good because really we've just taken away most of our profit at that point.
Yeah.
And we then started limiting the number of early bird tickets. We also stopped doing crazy one day specials because here's the thing. At the beginning, we don't even have all our speakers lined up. So the people who are doing the crazy one day special are the people who are going to show up regardless. Mm-hmm. And that sounds awful. Like you do want to reward those people, but you reward them with some early bird tickets. You don't reward them with a $99 ticket if it's usually $250 because they would buy a more expensive ticket. And this sounds a little bit crass, but remember, you're putting a ton of work into this. This is This is our biggest project all year in terms of man hours.
Yeah, it is. And when you said before, you were like, I'm not doing this again. Every year leading up to it, we're like, this is seriously the last year.
Yeah.
And then you have it, you're like, oh, but it was so good and everybody loved it and it looked amazing on social media. And it's kind of, I always say it's like having a baby. While you're pregnant, you're like, oh, this is horrible. You have a baby. You're like, let's have another one.
I can't speak to that, but okay.
I swear that's exactly how my team and I feel. But every year at the end, we just had ours a couple of weeks ago. It's like, oh, there's nothing like it. So it's so hard to convince ourselves not to do another one when the results from it are just, it's a ripple effect throughout the rest of the year.
Absolutely. And we've gotten business the day of the event. Like I have a friend of mine who I couldn't convince to spend $5,000 on a website, but her husband won a ticket to the conference, gave it to her. She went. And before she had left, she met with my creative director, ended up buying a $21,000 website.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Plus some marketing. I'm like, wow, like that is crazy. So, and then I had other clients who, you know, cause we try and get our clients to come as well. We give them discounted tickets. I had one guy who had told me right off the bat, he only wants a website, no marketing. After two presentations at the event, he walks up to me, he goes, I was totally wrong. We're meeting with you on Monday. We're totally doing marketing, you know? So for us, you know, I'm happy to break even on this event, you know. And when I say break even, I'm also paying for my team's time. Perhaps it's reduced rate, but if you have a marketing event that gets you a few different jobs, especially at the scale that we're at, like that's well worth it. And to have this event that not only gets us jobs almost day of, but also is that, like you say, that ripple effect or that trickle effect, where it's like, you know, somebody comes in, they sign a contract. I say, so how did you hear of us at first? Oh, I've been going to the Agents of Change event for like 3 years. Mm-hmm. So it's like, wow. So it's that kind of stuff that really helps grow your business. And again, there's a lot more competition. There are a lot more events out there these days. I won't say that. But at the same time, putting on an event at a certain level, your competitors just aren't going to try and do a me too on that one.
Right. Right. So yeah.
It really does separate you and it elevates you. And it elevates your brand. And I know for me, like I make sure that there's three speakers who get the entire audience outside of breakouts. And you said my opening keynote, my closing keynote, and me. So then I'm positioning myself, whether I deserve to be there or not, I'm positioning myself with the Jay Bears, with the Pat Flynns, with the Mark Schaefers, Joel Combs, you know, everybody who comes in, suddenly I'm at the same level in front of my audience.
And right.
It certainly reflects well on me.
I was just gonna say it's a great positioning piece, 100%.
Yes.
Yeah, I love this. Okay, this has been so good, Rich. I appreciate your time and just giving us the details of the behind the scenes. Anything else that you want to wrap up with, or any one last piece of advice for somebody who's thinking about putting on their own event?
Two things I'd say. One is that don't be afraid to start small. I think we've said this before, but this is the key thing. It's like you do not have to start with a 400 or 4,000 person event. You can, you know, if you're doing this for your business, you're not an event planner, you're not trying to make a ton of money off the event, is start small, get a sense, and build your community that way. That's really going to help you succeed. And the other thing is to come out to the Agents of Change Conference and see how it's done. You know, obviously, it would be fantastic to see you guys in Maine, and you should totally come out. And early bird tickets are on sale now. Oh, sorry about the pitch.
Did you say who the keynote speakers are this year? Do you have those announced?
Mark Schaefer is our opening keynote, and Dana Malstaff, Boss Mom, is
I spoke at Dana's event maybe 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Can't even remember what it was. Yeah, she is amazing. All right, well, you guys definitely go check it out. Rich, what's the website? Where can they go find it? More info.
So if they are interested in the conference, they should head on over to theagentsofchange.com. If they want to talk to me about just about anything, I am The Rich Brooks on every single social media channel.
Yeah, and you'll have to, Rich just interviewed me for his podcast, so you'll definitely have to go check out the podcast too and listen to our interview over there as well. So Rich, thank you so much for coming on today. Any other place we didn't mention that you hang out online that they should be checking out?
They could also check out my agency website if they're bored. It's takeflyte.com.
Perfect. Rich, thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure.
And that's it for another episode of Foot Traffic. But don't worry, if you're craving more business building guidance, I've got two places to send you. First, be sure to join our free Facebook group at foottraffic.club. You'll get support from other small business owners like you, plus exclusive content from me. And if you're looking for more actionable advice and step-by-step resources for getting more people in the door, head over to foottrafficpodcast.com. It's time we take your business to the next level.